With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey everyone, Scott Hansen here from NFL Red Zone. I hope you're checking out 1 hour of 5 Yard Rush, one of the best podcasts on NFL football in the UK.
Hello, Rush Nation, and welcome to the 5 Yard Dynasty podcast. I am your host, as usual. I'm Liam at the FSA Tweets on Twitter. We're joining you after a very exciting weekend. But first of all, Rich, how have you been, mate? How's your weekend been? As I alluded to, it was the NFL draft last week, so.
Yeah, it's been good fun. It was pretty crazy trying to keep up with everything. I drove up to Norwich on Saturday, which was good fun trying to keep up with the draft whilst in a car and things like that. But it was one hell of a first round, and it kind of kept up. As a Jets fan, I think day three didn't really exist, but it was quite nice because I always sit here and say day three wide receivers don't matter, and for the Jets, day three didn't matter really at all. So I could kind of switch off and focus on getting stuff sorted.
I suppose the Jets are taking in your philosophy of day three picks don't really matter at all.
Exactly that, mate.
Rich, as you said, it was a crazy first round. And today, as the viewers can probably have expected, we're going to do a recap of the draft. And then we're going to take a look at some players that we kind of missed out from our little recap. So just so listeners are aware, we'll be going through the first two rounds of the NFL draft because there were 18 players drafted that were somewhat fantasy relevant in one way or another within the first two rounds. And yet only one of them was quarterback, Rich. I think that was one of the biggest headlines of the NFL draft, but we'll get to that in a minute. And then we'll go through some lower round guys from round three and below at each position. But it will be an absolute quick fire show, Rich, because we've got 26, I believe, players that we want to get through today, which doesn't give us much time to talk about them. So let's start straight away and get into the very first fantasy relevant pick of the draft. And normally you expect it to be the 101, maybe the 102 at a push, because you tend to see a quarterback go early. But we had to wait until the 8th overall pick by the Atlanta Falcons to get our first fantasy relevant player. And that was your boy, Rich, Drake London. I'm only saying that because you liked him more than me and you thought it was outrageous that I had him so low in my pre-draft rankings. But Rich, Drake London to the Atlanta Falcons. That offense is looking considerably younger after this draft. How do you feel about that? Landing spot on, I suppose, draft capital as well, because we're both big draft capital guys, aren't we, over landing spot?
Yeah, so I mean, it's hard to get older. I think 12 months ago it was Matt Ryan and Julio Jones, and it was always going to get younger than that, wasn't it? I'm not sure if I can claim Drake London as my guy. I think if we're going down to that level of counting those guys as my guys, we might be here all night and everyone's my guy. But I think I'd say Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave are probably my guys over Drake London. I really like Drake London. I think when people are talking about potential upside and kind of ceilings of prospects, a lot of people will throw other names around, but to me, I think Drake London has absolutely got the highest ceiling of any receiver in this class. I think that's only reinforced by the landing spot. I think, a team like Atlanta that is in that rebuild, that yes, they've got Kyle Pitts, but Drake London could easily be that number one true X receiver that's going to command, potentially 150 targets in a season. And and has got that, you know, potential to be top five, top 10 dynasty wide receiver. Now, yeah, I've not got him there for me. He's my wide receiver two in terms of rookie rankings. But I think that for him, you know, he settles in as an easy kind of high-end wide receiver two from dynasty perspective for me. I think he's my wide receiver 15 overall now.
Yeah, as you said, he's got the upside. I personally have him as wide receiver four, and that's because of the...
You don't like him.
I mean, I do like him. I've grown on him over this draft process, but I still struggle with his separation. And it could be nothing, especially if he's gone eighth overall. I expected him to go early anyway. But yeah, I've got him as wide receiver four at the moment, and that was mostly down to pre-draft because I weight my pre-draft rankings much higher than my post-draft, basically the draft capital that goes into it afterwards. But Rich, let's move on to your New York Jets. They took Garrett Wilson at the 10th spot. I think everyone penciled in a wide receiver here, and most kind of expected it to be Drake London. But as Drake went first, he picked up Garrett Wilson. He's my wide receiver one. I can only assume that he's still your wide receiver one post-draft. I think this is a great landing spot. I think Corey Davis is the biggest loser in this landing spot out of that entire wide receiver core. I think that people are probably knocking Elijah Moore a lot more than they should be. But for Garrett Wilson anyway, this is a perfect dream landing spot, because I suppose he doesn't really need to be that wide receiver one, because you've already got those guys that could be, and it might be a bit of more of an ease-in situation. I don't know how you feel as the Jets fan, but I think this is a year where Zach Wilson has the tools and it could be a deciding year for him.
Yeah, I think, look, it's quite interesting because I've got Garrett Wilson as my rookie wide receiver one, and I got called a homer the other day for having him as my wide receiver one, which was interesting, because normally with most Jets players, I'm lower than consensus, and normally I don't want any part of them. So yeah, I quite enjoyed it. I think that's the first time in the past 5 years I've been called a homer for one of my rankings. So I enjoyed that. I think Garrett Wilson, he steps in. He's probably the second most pro-ready of the receivers. I think Chris Olave is probably a little bit more pro-ready, but I think Garrett Wilson is a natural fit in that kind of Shanahan scheme that the Jets run. You know, yes, if you listen to kind of Jets circles, there's talk of the Jets needed a true X outside receiver that, you know, can win one-on-one on the outside. But you know me, I'm not a big believer in size being the be-all and end-all when it comes to receivers. If you've got a receiver that can force his way and get his way open, then I'm all in, and I think that's massive for me. So, yeah, I really like Garrett Wilson. I really like him on the Jets. I think that whole offense takes a step forward. I've seen a lot of people saying that this is a big hit for Elijah Moore. I'll be honest, it didn't move my Elijah Moore ranking at all. Yes, I've got Garrett Wilson ahead of him, but I've always had Garrett Wilson ahead of him because I think Garrett Wilson is a better prospect. You know, there's a reason why Elijah Moore was an early second round pick and why Garrett Wilson was a top 10 pick, quite frankly. I wouldn't be shocked if Elijah Moore outproduced Garrett Wilson this year, but I think come 2023 and beyond, I think Garrett Wilson will be the target leader and the number one option in this offense, certainly.
I do think he'll walk into the role. My comment earlier about him maybe not needing to was just because of the other options there, but I do think he'll walk into that role as the wide receiver one. So this is where things started to get interesting in the draft, as I think a lot of people kind of had here as either Washington Commanders, who were originally at the 11th spot, taking a wide receiver, and instead they traded back and let the New Orleans Saints trade up. And I saw I can't remember the exact tweet, but I saw the eventual like addition of all the trade comp that they spent to get from last year's first to this year's first, and then trade up as well. And it ended up being a third, a few fourths, obviously next year's first as well, and this year's first. It was just crazy how much they spent to go up and get their guy. And that guy ended up being Chris Olave, the other most pro-ready, as you said, of this wide receiver core in the draft. And I wasn't expecting Olave to be the pick here when they did trade up. I was half expecting a defensive pick because they do have holes on the defense. But Olave going to the New Orleans Saints, and I think this is only going to see a rise in rankings across the board in Dynasty. I don't know how you feel about this spot, Rich.
Yeah, I mean, I was all in on Olave before. I think I was much higher than consensus. He absolutely smashes in my model. I think the reason most people were down on him was the fact that he was a, you know, he was a late declare. He didn't come out after that junior season. I'd also like to point out, you say that you saw somewhere about the total package of picks. It's nice that you you value my interactions with you so much, because it was actually me that texted you to say what the Saints had paid. So I've got it here. So the Saints paid 2 22 third rounders, a 22 fourth rounder, a 23 first rounder, and a 24 second rounder. So it's 1 1, a 2 2, threes, and a 4 to trade up to get Chris Olave.
Rich, I'll be honest, the past few days have just been an absolute whirlwind of Twitter notifications, notifications. I can't keep up with who I speak to. I know I speak to a lot. But I just don't have your name next to everything I have in my head. But yeah, they did trade a lot to get up to Olave. I've got him as my wide receiver 5, and I want to find a way to get him higher in my rankings. I just can't figure out a way to do so.
That's outrageous. To me, like, apologies, I'm going to go on a little rant here. This is this is outrageous that his ADP is currently wide receiver 5. I think you're right around consensus. And I just don't get it at all. Like, this is a guy who has a fantastic prospects model, you know, however you look at it from an analytical perspective. You know, he produced at an early age. He produced in a fantastic offense. He is an absolute touchdown machine. And there's nothing that you don't like from an analytical perspective. You then turn on the tape and he is a fantastic route runner, really nuanced, wins at all three levels of the field, wins with, you know, setting up DBs, wins with creating separation. It's fantastic. And yet we're fading him because he didn't declare and he wanted to go back and try and win a national championship. And yes, I know the stats behind late declares don't produce fantasy points as good as early declares. And I completely get that. But this is a unique situation. The last 2 years haven't been normal. This is a guy that was, quite frankly, you know, with everything that's going on in COVID, I almost give him a little bit of the benefit of the doubt of saying, okay, you've gone back. It was an abnormal last 2 years. You've gone back to try and win national championship. You've got to remember, take yourself back a year. Last January, people didn't really know when they were declaring for the NFL what was really going to happen. So I don't blame him at all for going back for another year. So for me, I think the fact that he's going wide receiver 5 is absolutely criminal. I think he's in an incredible landing spot. I think that, you know, we talk about target volumes and ability to command high target shares. He could easily be like a 100-120 target guy as a rookie in that offense. Yes, Michael Thomas is there, but who the hell knows what's happening with Michael Thomas? And I think there's a reason why the Saints have gone up and got him. I think he slots in perfectly. I think he's going to be fantastic in the offense. So for me, he's an easy guy that I'm above consensus on. He's my wide receiver 3. He's my wide receiver 19 overall. And it's a guy that I'm in a lot of drafts already. I think I've already got 4 or 5 shares. And very, very happy to be stacking up high share totals when it comes to Chris Olave.
I'll point this out just so you know that I'm not low on him. In my pre-draft film grade, I had him 3rd in this class. And looking at my post-draft grades between Jameson Williams, Chris Olave, Treylon Burks and Dre London, there is about a 0.2 difference, which in my grading system is ridiculously thin. So it's not like I'm massively lower on him. There is just a tier of four there that I can't figure out how to maneuver to get Olave up. They are just extremely close in the way that I've done my rankings this year. But we'll move on, Rich, before I set you off again. So, another trade happened, and I don't think anyone expected this one, especially with the Detroit Lions trading with the Minnesota Vikings. It was at 12 to go and get Jameson Williams. And Rich, Jameson Williams did not look happy when he was selected by the Lions. But I actually really like this landing spot for him. I know a lot of people think he's going to be just a deep threat. And yes, he's got the speed to be a deep threat. But I think that that offense showed last year that they can use players in a different way. And it's not just going to be a standard vanilla offense. With the way that they used Amon Ross and Brown, I think that that shows everything you need to know about wanting to get the ball in their playmakers' hands. And I think they're going to do that with Jameson Williams. So at the moment, I have him as my wide receiver two in this class. But as I said, the after Garrett Wilson at wide receiver one, I've just got a tier of four because I can't, it's split in hairs at that point. And if I can get one of those four, then I'm ridiculously happy in my rookie drafts. Rich, Jameson Williams, how do you feel about that landing spot for him?
Look, without wanting to basically repeat everything that we said in the pre-draft process, I'm not the biggest Jameson Williams guy. I know that, you know, you listen to people like Sam Monson on the PFF, from PFF, he's a big believer that Jameson Williams can be more than just a, you know, Henry Ruggs, the whole deep threat. I'm not convinced. I think he is not going to be a true complete receiver. I think he's going to end up being a potentially kind of 1B receiver that is better from an NFL perspective than a fantasy perspective. It feels like I'm way below consensus. It feels like I'm not going to get any kind of shares. I've seen him as high as wide receiver one in people's ranks. He's currently wide receiver four in ADP. It's just a guy that, for me, I'd rather bet on someone that I think can command high volumes in terms of target shares rather than fewer high value targets. And yes, I get that he's going to get plenty of deep shots. He's going to get, you know, those really high value targets in an offense where there's not a huge amount of competition. But for me, I'd much rather take a punt on a Olave or a Wilson or even a Drake London than someone like a Jameson Williams, who I worry could end up being, as I said, a very good NFL receiver, but one of those, you know, settle in as a wide receiver 30 that will give you six fantastic weeks and 10 pretty poor weeks.
Right, let's not start calling him something like the Sammy Watkins replacement. Let's not go there.
I didn't go there. That's all you. That's all on you.
No, I'm just trying to put words in your mouth. So let's move on, Rich, because we seem to have, even though we're blitzing through these, we seem to be running out of time already. The 16th pick, where the Washington Commanders traded back with the Saints, they ended up taking a wide receiver, and it's not who we kind of thought would be next off the board. Looks like the NFL saw the wide receiver class as you did, saying that there's a top six, not a top five, and they did take Jahan Dotson at the 16th spot. I see a lot of people fading him because of the landing spot, and I know that both of us are going to be telling you not to fade because of landing spot and draft because of draft capital. But Rich, I don't think this landing spot is as bad as people are thinking immediately. But as I've already said, we both are very high on the on draft capital rather than landing spot.
I'll be honest, I'm so confused when people talk about landing spots from an NFL perspective, because I feel like they can just pick at whatever reason they think as to why it's a good landing spot or a bad landing spot. This is a guy that we talked before the draft that he was my wide receiver six, and I was convinced that it was a big six in terms of the NFL wide receivers rather than a big five that most people seem to think. So yes, I appreciate I was already higher than consensus on Dotson, but he goes to an offense that he's the clear number two target. There isn't a huge amount of competition. Yes, there's Terry McLaurin where, okay, he's going to command a high target share, but there is a clear hole for him and there is a clear role for him where he will be, from my view, a fantastic complement across the field from Terry McLaurin. And then you see people throwing out things like George Pickens to the Steelers is a great landing spot. And I'm sitting there scratching my head thinking, okay, so the Steelers have got an absolute target vacuum in Deontay Johnson. They've got an elite up-and-coming tight end in Pat Freiermuth. They've got a big-bodied, movable piece that we all seem to like in terms of Chase Claypool. And George Pickens going there is an incredible landing spot because he'll be the fourth target. Oh, and that's not to mention that they've just spent a first-round pick on Najee Harris, who they're going to feed the ball to 200-plus times a year. I just don't get it.
Let's not forget Trubisky as the QB or Pickett that we have no idea on.
Exactly. So, you know, yes, Carson Wentz is a bit of a joke, okay? He's been traded by his last two teams. People are very keen to get out of him. He seems like a real knob, for want of a better phrase, in terms of within the locker room. But he is a competent NFL quarterback that, you know, produces decent stats. This is a guy that, don't forget, I want to say 4 years ago, was in the running for MVP before he got injured. He's not a joke. And I think that if you can stick Jahan Dotson in there and he's going to command, you know, 15 to 20% target share as a rookie, I think that calling him wide receiver nine is criminal. I feel like I'm going to end up with an awful lot of shares of Jahan Dotson. It's quite nice because I've been able to, you know, I'd feel comfortable taking him at the back end of a first round in a Superflex draft. And it's quite nice where I've had some early second round picks combined with some late firsts. I've been able to leave him on the board and grab someone else, knowing that because I'm so much higher than consensus, everybody else is going to leave him from there. And I'm getting him, you know, 4, 5, 6 picks later than I would personally be taking him, just because I know that everybody else seems to think that Washington is a terrible landing spot and Jahan Dotson's going to be a nothing. So yeah, give me all the Jahan Dotson. I'm really a believer.
I think I've seen this in a lot of places where people are thinking that he's going to take on the Curtis Samuel role from when Ron Rivera was in Carolina. And I just don't see that happening. But Rich, we've got a question for you from Harry, just very quickly before we move on. Was Rich lower on Waddle before his rookie year or Jameson Williams? So were you lower on Waddle?
That is a very good question.
Coming into his rookie year? Do you want me to come back to that?
Yeah, well, I can pull it up. Does he mean in terms of draft my model or in terms of my ranking? Because
we'll go with ranking.
So let me just have a look. So yeah, I've got the model in front of me, so I can tell you that. So in terms of a model, so Jameson Williams is a 95.6 percentile in my model, whereas Jalen Waddle was 86.5. So I'm a lot higher on Jameson Williams than I was on Jalen Waddle from a model perspective. In terms of 2021 ranks, I've got to do some maths now. Hang on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So Jalen Waddle was my wide receiver 6 in rookie ranks last year. And obviously, Jalen Waddle was my wide receiver 6 and Jameson Williams is my wide receiver 5. So I hope that helps.
There you go, Harry. So let's move on, Rich. So on at the 18th pick, the Tennessee Titans decided to trade up as well. There was a bunch of trades at this point, and it was just wide receivers flying off the board every so often. So they ended up taking Treylon Burks, who a lot of people had going to Tennessee anyway, at 23 in their mock drafts. But the key thing about this trade is they traded AJ Brown to the Eagles for this pick to then go and get Treylon Burks. So they essentially traded AJ Brown for Treylon Burks, which to me is quite funny, especially when the NFL comp during the NFL draft was for Treylon Burks was AJ Brown. A lot of that would have come down to contract and money issues, but for this landing spot, I actually really like it. I think that he's going to step in. I don't think he'll be as good as AJ Brown. I don't think that's I don't think that's much of a hot take, but I don't think he'll be as good as AJ Brown is or has been. Rich, anything to add on that before we dive to the next one?
I think what I'd quickly say is I think from an NFL perspective, I think this is a fantastic move from Tennessee. I love getting out on a player. You've had the 3 years of the rookie contract. You know, you've got the potentially cheapest in terms of plus EV years out of AJ Brown. You then trade him. I mean, you probably could have got more, let's be honest, than just the 18th pick. But you then trade him and you go and buy a rookie that you've then got four more cost control years of. I think it's a great move from that perspective. But what I don't get is that people are basically saying, right, Treylon Burks is AJ Brown. And they're almost expecting, you know, Treylon Burks just to be AJ Brown. And I think that's to me too harsh on AJ Brown. Let's not forget that AJ Brown is a phenomenal athlete and AJ Brown is a, you know, top 10 NFL wide receiver. To just expect Treylon Burks to come in and say, right, he's going to get all the same volume, he's going to get all the same usage, and he's going to be the same guy. I can't see it personally. That's not to say that I think Treylon Burks is going to be a really good fantasy prospect. But he's my wide receiver 4, and there's absolutely no way. I've seen some people taking him 101 in Superflex drafts. There's no way I can get on board with that. I just think that, you know, he's not the athlete that AJ Brown is. He's not got the kind of prospect profile. For me, wide receiver 4, still like him, you know, still think he's a great prospect, and one that I'd love to have on my teams. You know, in terms of startup cost, he's my wide receiver 25 overall, so I am really high, but I just can't get on board with him as a wide receiver 1.
I think the other thing people are forgetting is Robert Woods is there, and I don't think AJ Brown ever had that style of competition. Yes, you had Julio Jones for the five games that he played. I think they only played one or two games together. I don't think they actually played that many games together. So I think a lot of people are missing out on or forgetting that Woods is there and that he probably Woods personally wins from that this year at least. Moving on to the 20th overall pick, the Pittsburgh Steelers stayed put, took who a lot of people expected to go to the Steelers, just not be the first QB off the board. And that was Kenny Pickett. And spoiler alert, he was the only quarterback taken in the first two rounds, which is crazy. That said everything you needed to know about this NFL class of quarterbacks. So Kenny Pickett to the Pittsburgh Steelers. I know that they really liked him. He has bumped up in my rankings to QB1. Draft capital, when he's the only first round QB, will take basically any quarterback in my draft capital, in my rankings up, because Rich, if you want to take it away on first round QBs, then feel free. But I think it just shows you everything you needed to know about this NFL QB class.
Yeah, I think, look, he's clearly the QB1. I think anyone who's not got him as the QB1, I'd seriously question it. I think that, yes, you know, Desmond Ridder, Malik Willis, even Matt Corral have got the potential to start this next year, but they've not got that first round draft capital attached to them. You know, Atlanta can turn around and say, yeah, you know, we quite fancy Desmond Ridder as our QB of the future. But if he is not fantastic this year, they can turn around in what's a fantastic quarterback class next year and go and find another option, because you've not spent that first round. It doesn't mean everything. Whereas, you know, the Steelers, have spent that first round pick on a quarterback, that means that Kenny Pickett's getting at least 2, if not 3 years as a starting quarterback in the NFL. And there's no other way you can look into it. So for me, he's my QB1. He's my number 4 player overall in Superflex ranks. And a few people have said that I'm too high on him. And I think that for me, it's just positional value. You know, we're in a year where there's not 3, 4, 5 potential starting quarterbacks coming out of the draft. So that bumps up. Yeah, you know, we talked about in the pre-draft shows, I do not like Kenny Pickett as a prospect. I do not think he's going to be fantastic for fantasy perspective. But there's only 32 starting quarterbacks. And, you know, once bye weeks come around and things like that, quarterback gets dry pretty quick. So, you know, yes, I think he's probably going to beat out Mitch Trubisky in camp. I think worst case scenario, we're talking 4 or 5 games. I don't think it's going to be a, you know, Trey Lance situation where he's sitting on the bench all year. I think that Kenny Pickett's going to be an okay dynasty QB2. But for me, I think you've got to spend up to get him because, you know, in Superflex, quarterback is king. And I think if you're short on quarterback and you're going into your rookie draft, he's the only one you can go out and get. I did have an interesting conversation with someone today and I was saying, actually, you know what, if I'm short on quarterback, I'd feel much happier taking the pick I'm going to spend on Kenny Pickett and going and buying, you know, an other quarterback, whether it be a Derek Carr,
I like that.
Mac Jones, Kirk Cousins, someone like that, that you can probably spend, you know, 104, 105 on, and you've got that little bit more security blanket. Yes, you've probably not got the upside of it being a rookie who we don't really know what they could be, but that would be the move I'd make because, as I said, I'm not huge on Kenny Pickett, but I think for him to be falling to, you know, 7, 8, 9 in Superflex drafts is absolutely mental.
Yeah, I like that move a lot. Moving on, so the Green Bay Packers traded both of their second round picks, which I wasn't happy about at the time, up to the 34 spot, the second pick in the second round, to go and get their wide receiver of the future, Christian Watson. There was a rumor, and it ended up, I think it was confirmed afterwards, that they did try to trade up to the 32nd pick with the Minnesota Vikings to sneak into that back end of the first round to take Watson, but the Vikings wouldn't budge there. Rich, Christian Watson, I think this is a great example of landing spot versus draft capital, because for me, he has moved up in my rankings. I believe he moved up a spot. Yeah, he did move up a spot because of the draft capital, but I see people bumping him up to above Jahan Dotson quite regularly, and I'm sure that there's another player that we can come to at the end of the second round that is in the similar situation. But people seem to forget that landing spot, especially at the wide receiver position, can be so volatile. Like, next year, we have no idea what's going to happen with the Packers wide receiver room. It's crazy that people are bumping him up just because of this year, and yet we play this game called Dynasty, which isn't just about this year.
I think, and this is why I can never get on board with landing spot being everything, because, you know, I don't think this will happen, but what happens if Green Bay turn around and trade their next 2 ones to Seattle for DK Metcalf? Christian Watson's then a, you know, he's a second option, maybe even a third option, who's just had his role taken away from him. No, I don't think that's going to happen. I think that Christian Watson's going to be, you know, a solid option and in a fantastic offense. And I get the reasons we like him. But as you said, landing spot changes so quickly. And makes it so fantastic.
Let's not forget that Landry, Julio Jones, Odell Beckham are still all on the market. It's not like all the veterans have been snapped up. I'm not saying that we're going to go out and get one of them right away. But come the start of the season, I wouldn't be surprised if we ended up getting a Landry to go in the slot and have some help, or give Watson some help. Or if Odell turns out to be healthy by the start of the season, picking him up to go on the outside opposite Watson. That's the sort of thing that I've said to a bunch of people that have asked me about Watson's landing spot. And I said, I wouldn't be surprised if the Packers pick up some sort of veteran presence. Because let's face it, Sammy Watkins, Randall Cobb, Amari Rodgers, if you really added him to the veterans list, and Alan Lazard aren't a scary wide receiver room. But as soon as you add in that Landry, that Odell Beckham, then people start to have another glance at that wide receiver room and have a glance at Watson's value there.
Yeah, I think look, he combines a few of my biggest frustrations in terms of people talking about fantasy, and it's that landing spot is everything, and that because he's a great athlete, he's he must be fantastic. So look, I'm lower than consensus on Christian Watson. I'm pretty happy that I'm probably going to end up with no shares. He's my wide receiver 8, so it's not like I hate him, but when you consider he's going as wide receiver 6 in terms of ADP, I think, as I said, to me, is there's a big 6, and he's certainly not one of them.
Yeah, I'm with you, but I've got him at the wide receiver 7, so just ahead of you. But yeah, he's outside of the top 6 for me. Now, coming back to your Jets, Rich, I know that you weren't happy as soon as I saw this pick, because I stayed up for the drafts, and I know that you weren't staying up. I knew that you weren't going to be happy, and then partway through the second round, you got up, messaged a group that we're in, and said that you've seen the pick and you're going straight back to sleep. So that says a lot about what you thought the Jets should have done, but unfortunately, you're not the GM, so we've got to stick with this. And Breece Hall was drafted at the 4th pick in the second round, the 36th overall pick, to your New York Jets. I'll let you take this one away, because I know you like the prospect, and I know that you, before the draft and during the draft, didn't want this to happen.
Yeah, I think maybe it was my sleep-deprived state, waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning or whatever it was, that I wasn't perhaps quite compos mentis. No, look, the reason I was annoyed was that I didn't think the Jets needed to go out and draft a running back. And because I'm always never spend anything at running back, I think, you know, you got Michael Carter in the 4th round last year, why not go out and do the same thing again this year? I also hate trading up because I think it's a waste of draft capital. Now, the next day when I'd actually had some sleep and was able to look at things properly, we only gave up a 5th rounder to move up. So I'm absolutely fine with the trade up in that situation. And I also think that, look, Breece Hall is, as I've said many a time, he is an elite level running back prospect. He is an absolute top tier player. And I have got so much hope and expectation about him coming out. Now, as a Jets fan, I completely get it, because I think you've now taken a good running back in Michael Carter and you've made him a great 1B option. And I think Breece Hall has got the potential to be a superstar at the running back position, and you've now turned what was only ever going to be a below average running back room, if you were looking at Michael Carter, Tevin Coleman, Ty Johnson, maybe even like Michael Pirine, and it's now got the potential to be a top 3 backfield in the NFL. And I think that from a Jets perspective, I completely get it. And I've sort of come round to the idea. From a fantasy perspective, I think it is an incredible landing spot, because I think that the Jets, you know, we've seen him spend over the last 2 years significant draft capital, significant money on the offensive line. We've seen that this scheme, you know, the Shanahan outside zone scheme, just produces fantasy production. And I think that Breece Hall is a natural fit for that offense, for the way it works. And I'm really excited about him as a prospect. I think that, you know, I'm sorry to say, unless you have a 101, you're not getting a touch. I was looking earlier, DLF have got a tool that they use that basically pulls live drafts from my fantasy league. So they've got 49 drafts in there that have been completed. Breece Hall's been drafted at number 1 in all 49 of those. So I think, yeah, if you've got a 101, very happy. I think you've got an elite running back prospect. But I also think that if the guy at 101 isn't fully convinced, it's definitely worthwhile going and have a conversation. Breece Hall's now my dynasty RB4. So the only guys I've got ahead of him are Jonathan Taylor, DeAndre Swift, and Najee Harris. I am very much all in on Breece Hall. And I'd like to say, again, to echo what I said about Garrett Wilson, this is because I was all in before the Jets drafted him. Yeah. And the fact that the Jets drafted him, if anything, has made me slightly lower on him than I was before.
You're such a homer having these two as your top of your positional rankings. Come on, Rich. I'm not going to say anything more on that. The only thing I did want to say was I feel sorry for Michael Carter. He's gone from his college career with Javonte Williams now to his NFL career with Breece Hall. So hopefully it makes him look a bit look more explosive being next to them. Moving on to the next running back off the board, and it's kind of who we all expected, maybe to a landing spot that we all expected to draft a running back, and that's Seattle Seahawks took Kenneth Walker in the early second round. So, Rich, I love this landing spot for Kenneth Walker. I think people are maybe pushing Rashad Penny under the rug a bit too quickly. I don't think he's going to give up that running back one job quite so easily. But I think at the worst, that will be a 1A, 1B situation there. I can't see anything less than that.
You expected Rashad Penny to stay healthy then? Because I think that could be slight mistake with his track record.
That was my next point, was if Rashad Penny is healthy, I can see it as a 1A, 1B role. But if Rashad Penny's not, then it's all Kenneth Walker's. Unless something major happens, it's all his role. I've seen a lot of people saying that he's not the 102 in Superflex leagues. I argue that he is. I don't know how you feel about this, Rich. I just think running back positional value, especially in a draft this year where running backs were basically forgotten about, I just can't see any other pick at the 102.
Yeah, I think he's my 102. I think he's a fantastic prospect. I think it's an ideal landing spot. I think it's nothing but positive. I'd be honest, I don't get at all what the Seahawks are doing from an NFL perspective. In terms of, you're a rebuilding team, go and buy a running back that's going to help you for 2-3 years, but whatever. From a fantasy perspective, I think it's fantastic. Just to highlight, I really do believe this is a two-back draft class from a fantasy perspective. So Breece Hall, in terms of my model, Breece Hall is a 95th percentile prospect. Kenneth Walker is a 91st percentile prospect. The next highest player in my model is Rashad White, who is a 66th percentile prospect. So,
That's huge drop.
It's a fairly accurate model in terms of RSQ when looking at fantasy points from years 1 to 3. But basically, I think because of that, it's like we talked about Kenny Pickett being pushed up because he's the only quarterback. I think it's literally a two-back class. I think there's a load of lottery tickets. To me, the difference between the third back off the board and the 15th back off the board isn't really much, to be honest. But I think that Kenneth Walker has got to be the 102, unless you're QB desperate and you're going Kenny Pickett, because I think, he could easily be a workhorse for Seattle as soon as this year. I did bump him up in my overall ranks. He's now my RB13, which is one spot ahead of Derrick Henry. So highlights just how high I am on Kenny Walker.
Yeah, I like that. And I think personally, I've got them in a tier of themselves, not together, but separately. And I'm assuming you're in the same situation there, Rich.
Yeah, I've got Kenny Walker. He's in the same tier as the top three wide receivers and Kenny Pickett. So I've got Breece Hall as a tier of his own. And then, Kenny Walker, Garrett Wilson, Kenny Pickett, Drake London, Chris Olave as the next five off the board.
So moving on, the New York Giants selected Wan'Dale Robinson. I believe they also traded up for this pick. And this was the very first, I suppose, shocking pick. Because I wasn't expecting Wan'Dale Robinson to go off the board in the second round. But the Giants drafted another wide receiver.
Don't get it at all from a Giants perspective. Don't love it. Didn't love the prospect. I think he's all right. I'm finding myself drafting quite a lot of him. because he's my wide receiver 10. And it feels that a lot of people are letting him fall down. I'm getting him quite a lot of the late second. He's my 17th overall prospect, and people are letting him fall to me in, like, you know, the 23rd, 24th pick off the board. So, I don't love it. I don't get what the Giants are doing in terms of why they're going and targeting him, per se, when I think there's much better fits and much better prospects still on the board. But, yeah, as that sort of end of the second round flyer, why not? He's not got huge amounts of competition. I'm not sure Kenny Golladay's going to be in there beyond this year. Kadarius Toney sounds like he could get traded. And who knows who could be quarterback for the Giants next year. So it could end up being, whilst it doesn't look like it, it could end up being a really good landing spot for a guy that's, you know, pretty electric and pretty good with the ball in his hands.
Yeah, he was shifty and explosive. But as you said, I wasn't excited about him coming out. I've got him as my wide receiver 11. The draft capital did bump him up two spots. So, yeah, I think we're both on the same page with that one. Then the next wide receiver off the board was the Houston Texans taking one, which I didn't expect, with a 44th overall pick. And this is where we kind of see the run of wide receivers from the start to about here end. In the NFL draft, and they took John Metchie, a guy who I was high on coming out. I've got him as my wide receiver 9, both pre and post draft. So this draft capital didn't move. I kind of expected him to go around the second, maybe the early third round. But the Texans traded up for Metchie, which breaks my heart for Nico Collins, but also makes me happy for John Metchie. I think this is a sneaky good landing spot. I don't think people really see it right now, but if they have a young quarterback next year, or if Davis Mills shows that enough for them to keep him around long term, then I can only see this as a good spot for Metchie, and I have a feeling I'm going to be drafting a lot of Metchie over the coming weeks.
Well, it's not really changed my thoughts on him. I don't particularly like him. I think he struggles to separate. If someone wants to point out something, you know, how he's going to operate at the next level. Yeah, if he's going to get schemed up where he's running free and you know, being schemed open, then fine. I can see he could be all right. But I just think he's not a good enough route runner to be consistent from a fantasy perspective. So this is the point, you know, we talk about it a lot. This is the point at which I'm basically just not drafting wide receivers, and I'm just going to load up on a load of running backs because, I don't particularly like him more than any of the flyers that could be a running back in this sort of range.
Well, you're not going to know like the next few picks, because this with Metchie going and the end of that wide receiver run, we also got a start of another one at the 18th overall pick. The 18th pick in the second round, sorry, the 50th overall. And it was the New England Patriots trading up for Tyquan Thornton. And this was the shocking pick out of the top 64, in my opinion. I didn't think they would trade up for a wide receiver, let alone Tyquan Thornton, who he shot up my rankings because of this. I expected him to go in the fourth round, and then he shot up four spots up to wide receiver 14 for me. But I have a feeling that I'm not going to be touching him at all.
I'll be honest, I don't particularly love him as a prospect. I'm higher on him than someone like a Christian Watson if they went to the same landing spot with the same draft capital. I don't love him, but I think the hate has probably gone a little bit too far. I was talking with a couple of my Patreons today, and they were saying that he went undrafted in a four-round rookie draft today.
Wait, what?
Yeah. His ADP is, quite frankly, ridiculous. He's got an ADP of 34. So he's going as, what's that, a late third, early fourth round
pick?
Yeah,
late third, early fourth.
This is a guy that, okay, you know, isn't an incredible prospect, you know, certainly don't love him, but this is also a guy that an NFL team has traded up into the middle of the second round to go and get him. And I do wonder if perhaps we're overthinking it slightly. Look, do I think he's going to be a fantasy stud? No. Am I willing to, you know, stake my reputation on him producing? No, definitely not. But for him to go undrafted in rookie drafts is quite frankly ridiculous. This guy was a second round pick. In ADP, he's going behind Justin Ross, who was an undrafted free agent just because he went to the Chiefs. Like, this is absolutely ridiculous.
I don't get that.
You know, look, I don't love Tyquan Thornton, but if you're telling me that I can have him for free, I feel like I'm probably going to end up with an awful lot of shares of someone like Thornton.
I did not think that he was going undrafted, but if he is, I might just trade some random piece for late fourth and then try and get him to stash on my taxi squad for a year and see what happens. I mean, I didn't think that it would be going this high, but yeah, if you can tell me that I can get him over an undrafted free agent, that he's going ahead of him right now, which is crazy. Yeah, I'll do that every day of the week. So the Pittsburgh Steelers added to their offense just two picks later and took George Pickens. You hinted at it earlier. I say hinted, you outright said it earlier. So what? How do you feel about this one, Rich? I think we covered your thoughts a bit earlier. I think a lot of people are seeing what the Steelers do with their wide receivers that they take in the draft, and they just turn out to be good. I mean, you look at Chase Claypool, you look at Deontay Johnson, you look at Antonio Brown, sorry. All these guys weren't first-round picks, and they all turned out to be good. I mean, James Washington to an extent at the NFL level, not for fantasy. But you see all these guys, and I think that's where a lot of people are seeing landing spot for this one. And kind of letting their heart run a little bit too much for me. I love Pickens coming into the draft, but I think people are getting a bit too hyped for this.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of Pickens. I think I was lower than consensus beforehand. I think, you know, as we discussed, people are throwing around what the Steelers do with wide receivers and expecting it to be, you know, another stud. I mean, let's not forget, whilst yes, there have been some hits from the middle and later rounds, there's also been some misses. You know, James Washington was a second round pick. You know, there's also, honestly, Sammy Coates was like a second or third round pick. Martavis Bryant was a third or fourth round pick. I mean, obviously he had off-field concerns and couldn't stop smoking weed, but you've also got like Marcus Wheaton was a third round pick.
I think this is just a perfect people taking the good parts of this and getting outshined by
absolutely.
Actually happens, I suppose.
Look, the Steelers have had some fantastic hits. You know, you talk of Juju. Okay, Claypool's not done much. He's had like two good games in his career, but Claypool, Deontay Johnson, Emmanuel Sanders, Antonio Brown, you know, the list goes on. There have been some good hits. But the problem is that the Steelers take a wide receiver every year in that second to third round range. And it's like a 50-50 hit rate of whether they're good, which is the same as most NFL teams. It's just that most NFL teams don't take a wide receiver every year. So it's just that you remember the Steelers guys because they do it every year and then they let them walk. You know, they let Emmanuel Sanders walk and he goes on produces with Denver. You know, they let Mike Wallace walk and he goes and gets the big contracts and they just do it every year. And I wouldn't be shocked if Deontay Johnson walks in a year's time. But I don't think that this boosts George Pickens for me. You know, he's an early second round draft pick that I've got. I'd be happy spending that, you know, 201 on him is where I've got him in my ranks. But I'm conscious that I'm not getting him in most places because I've got Jahan Dotson, I've got Sky Moore, and I've got Christian Watson all ahead of him. And you know, I think most people don't. So that's where he's getting boosted up beyond where I'm comfortable taking him.
Yeah, I've got him as wide receiver 8. He did drop because Christian Watson jumped him. But yeah, I can see him at the late end of the first, early second. But moving on, Rich, Indianapolis Colts at the very next pick, the 53. They took Alec Pierce, and there are some rumours about Alec Pierce going in the second round. But the Colts traded up for him. It looks like they're trying to give some help to Pittman on the outside because Paris Campbell can't keep healthy. They haven't brought back T.Y. Hilton yet, and I don't think they will. I think this pick signifies the end there. But I don't know how I feel about this one. I think this is... Alec Pierce is kind of at the level where I'm starting to transition to the running back only approach like you. I'm probably doing it a few picks later than you are. But yeah, Alec Pierce kind of signifies the end of the wide receivers that I'm happy taking.
Yeah, I don't get the love. I'll be honest, I don't get the love at all. I think he's got a poor prospect profile. I think he's an average route runner when you watch him on film. I think he wins with size, which isn't always something that I want to rely on the next level. I think, you know, this is also a guy that's, you know, had a fantastic quarterback in college in terms of he had Desmond Ridder as his quarterback. And I think that that doesn't get looked at enough is that, you know, this is an NFL caliber quarterback that's helped him produce as he has, and he's not produced fantastically. So yeah, I'm much lower than consensus. I think I'm not going to have any Alec Pierce shares, to be honest. I just don't see what there is to love, to be honest. He's wide receiver 12 in ADP, so he's going as the 23rd player off the board. He's my wide receiver 15. I've got him 24th off the board, so I thought I was miles lower than consensus. I'm not actually that much lower than consensus, but yeah, I won't be touching much Alec Pierce, I don't think.
Yeah, Alec Pierce moved up to the 12th spot for me, wide receiver 12, so he moved up three spots. So this is the pick that I hinted at earlier, where I was talking about landing spot to versus draft capital, and that is Sky Moore going to the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs traded back from the 50 spot with the Patriots that ended up being Tyquan Thornton. So, Rich, the Kansas City Chiefs took Sky Moore. I was surprised about this one. I thought that they wouldn't have gone this direction because of having Juju, but it might signify Juju being on the outside a little bit more. I don't know about this pick. It doesn't make me as excited as I know a lot of people. And I have a feeling I'm not going to have any Sky Moore shares. I've got him as wide receiver 10. I've not moved him at all because of the landing spot. Draft capital hasn't bumped him either. And I know a lot of people are taking him ahead of Jahan Dotson, I've seen as well. So I just don't get it. I like him as a prospect, but I just... don't want to draft him that highly. I'd much rather take the first round pick.
I think I, first of all, touching on the kind of where he's going to play point, I think that people are throwing him in the slot only bucket, whereas I think he's going to be, for me, he's this year's Elijah Moore in that I think he's got the potential to play outside. I think in that Chiefs offense where, you know, you've seen someone like Tyreek Hill that was smaller, had that incredible release, was a movable piece in the offense. And I think that they're going to utilize Juju as that kind of power slot because I think of his blocking skills, and I think that getting him close to the ball will help that offense as a whole. And I think that Sky Moore is going to be, you know, lined up outside and moved all over the place. So I'm not concerned about that at all. I think I was probably the only person who was really disappointed and probably a bit annoyed at the landing spot. I was really high on Sky Moore. He was my wide receiver 7 pre-draft. I really like him. I think he's got a really good prospect profile. I think he's a fantastic route runner. I was really hoping that I'd be able to sneak him as a early second round pick in a lot of kind of rookie drafts, but I think, as you said, the Chiefs landing spot has kind of got people overhyped. He's ADP, so he's the wide receiver 6 with an ADP of 9 overall. He's my wide receiver 7, 10th overall, so I'm not miles off, you know. It's, but I think the thing for me is that I'm basically always taking Jahan Dotson over Sky Moore, and I think that's where I'm probably not getting many Sky Moore shares moving forward. But I love the prospect, and I think that he could be an absolute stud. I think it's a really good landing spot, but frustratingly, so does everyone else, and it means that he's shot up in terms of his value.
So with the 55th overall pick, the very next pick, Arizona Cardinals took the only tight end in their top two rounds, and that ended up being Trey McBride. This did bump him up in my rankings to tight end one,
where he should have been all along.
Here we go. But yeah, I like this one. But they did just sign Zach Ertz to, I believe it was a 3-year deal. I haven't looked at the specifics of each year and when they can get out of the deal, but the Cardinals decided to basically try and win Kyler back by, rather than giving him a contract extension that he wanted, try and give him a bunch of offensive weapons that he can use, because they sold their 23 overall pick to the Ravens to go and get Marquise Hollywood Brown. And they ended up trading, or getting in the second round, Trey McBride. So, Rich, I liked Trey McBride. I wasn't as high on him as everyone else, as you very well pointed out. But yeah, he did move up one spot for me to the tight end one spot and jumped over Jelani Woods there. Is there anything you want to talk about with McBride? I think it might be a year before we actually see some decent production out of him, just because Zach Ertz is still there.
Yeah, I think it's a very good landing spot. I think it's a very interesting spot. Where are we potentially going to see some two tight end sets with Zach Ertz and Trey McBride getting on the field? I like him. He's my tight end 13 in terms of overall, so he's almost that, you know, back end of tight end one. I think he could be really good. But as you said, I don't think we're going to see year one, maybe even year two production, like we've seen with the likes of Pat Freiermuth and obviously Kyle Pitts. So if you are drafting him, obviously it's almost drafter beware, because I think you do need to be a little bit patient with him potentially producing.
I'm personally not going to be having any. I've seen him at the end of the second, and if I want to take a shot on a tight end in the rookie drafts, it's going to be mid to late third, if not fourth round.
I've got him 25th prospect overall in a Superflex draft. So, you know, as much as I'm saying I quite like him, that's where I am. First pick of the third. So, yeah.
So the very last pick we're going to be talking about, Rich, is James Cook. The running back went to Buffalo Bills. I know a lot of people have been talking about James Cook taking over that backfield and is now going to be the running back one there, even though he's just been drafted. I've seen a story come out that I can't remember whether it was the GM or the... I believe it was the GM came out and said that we don't see him basically being the day one starter, and that there's still going to be a role for Singletary and Moss. So I'm personally not as high on Cook's landing spot. Just looking at my rankings, he did jump up to running back 3 because of the draft capital, but I'm personally not as high on the landing spot as a lot of other people are.
Yeah, I'll be honest, I could never get my head around everybody saying that if Buffalo drafted Breece Hall, it would be the dream landing spot, because Buffalo, yes, they've got a new offensive coordinator, but they're one of the most pass-happy teams in the NFL, okay? You then combine that with one of the most active rushing quarterbacks in the NFL. You then combine that with the fact that Josh Allen is their number one running back when they get into that goal-to-go situation. I don't see it as an incredible landing spot, because it's a low-volume role. You've got guys like Singletary and Moss who are going to eat into that passing share usage. And you've got the quarterback that's taking the, you know, high-end goal line touches. So even if James Cook, you told me he's the, you know, 65% opportunity share in this offense, I still don't think I'd fall in love with him. He's my RB3, mainly because, as I said earlier, there's not many what I'd class as top tier, even good prospects. I think there's a load of lottery tickets. He's my 14th prospect overall, so I'd be happy taking him at the beginning of the second round. I'll be honest, Liam, his value and where he's been going in drafts has absolutely blown my mind. I have seen him go, this is in actual drafts I am in, I have seen him go 103 twice. I have seen him go 104 and I've seen him go 106. And I was gobsmacked each time. So yeah, the value on James Cook is absolutely mind-blowing. I'm happy to sit here and say, look, I'm not spending more than an early second on someone like James Cook.
That's absolutely nuts. I know the only draft where I've got that far is the one that we're both in. And he went the 109 there. I feel that's a little bit too early. I'm probably a little bit higher than you. I've probably got around the 12th overall prospect overall rookie. But even then, I could talk myself into taking one of the wide receivers above him. But Rich, I know that you don't want to leave without talking about these QBs because we've only spoken about one of them and there were five that we were talking about pre-draft. So which QB do you want to have a quick chat about?
I just want to quickly mention Desmond Ridder. I think that the hate's probably gone a little bit too far. And, you know, I was the one who was, you know, contributing to that earlier, talking about the draft capital and the fact he went in the third round means a lot. But let's not pretend that Marcus Mariota isn't the answer there. You know, they're paying him, I think it's $4 million this year, and they can basically get out of next year for $2 million. They're not paying him big money. I wouldn't be shocked if Desmond Ridder is the starter this year. You know, probably not week one, but I wouldn't be shocked if he was the starter week four, week five, once Atlanta realizes that they're not playing for a Super Bowl this year and they're building for 2023, what have they got to lose by rolling out Desmond Ridder? I think he's the most pro-ready quarterback of this entire class. I think he offers some elite athleticism with a decent arm, and I think that he could be an interesting prospect. And for me, I'm happy taking him. He's my 12th overall player. I'm happy taking that risk on him at the 112, but I don't think I've got to spend that. I've got him twice with the 201 already in drafts, and that's, I think, for me, if I can spend an early second on a lottery ticket at quarterback, why not? Because I think if Desmond Ridder comes out and plays well, you know, we could be looking at a potential steal, because the return on investment when you draft any quarterback is massive. You know, if Desmond Ridder becomes a starting NFL quarterback, he's worth immediately a mid-first. And if I can buy that lottery ticket at the back end of the first or the early second, I'm happy to do that. You know, his ADP at the moment sits at QB 15. So yeah, not QB 15, 15th overall. I'm very happy to take that pick.
Yeah, I like him at the start of the second. I don't like him at the end of the first. I think the play this year for me is if I've got any picks at the late first, I'll probably trade back a little bit and try and pick something up pick a little something up. I can't get on board with a third round NFL draft pick in the first round when it's a quarterback, that is. So Rich, I wanted to touch on Sam Howell very, very quickly, just to say that I was wrong pre-draft, apparently. The NFL did not share my love for him. He is now my quarterback 5, just because the draft capital dropped him right down. He went with the first pick in the 5th round to the Commanders. So they do have an out on Wentz's contract after this year. So if they don't like what they see from him, they can get out. And I believe it's also for zero dead cap, which is insane on an NFL quarterback's contract. But equally, as we said earlier, or as you said earlier on, if they don't like Wentz, they could go and draft a quarterback in the first round next year rather than having to go with a 5th round guy. But yeah, to shame. I did like Sam Howell, but he has dropped all the way down to QB5, and I very much doubt I'll be getting any of him, because the only draft where I've gotten so far as to see him picked, he went in the mid-second. So I don't know whether you can see ADP there, but I'm probably not touching him until the late third, early fourth round.
He's currently the 28th prospect off the board, so early third currently.
Yeah. I'd have to wait a little bit more because of his draft capital, but I can see why. But yeah. So, Rich, that is everything for today's show. It's been an absolute whirlwind because of how many picks we had to talk about. Next week, we will be back with the 5-yard Dynasty Writers rookie draft. We were going to do a mock draft, and then Paul Picken decided to start up a 10-man Dynasty League and suggested we could use the rookie draft from that draft as our show. So that's what we're going to do. Thanks, Paul, for suggesting that and setting it up. So next week, Rich, live rookie draft. Make sure you tune in at 8 o'clock on Tuesdays. Are you excited?
I'm looking forward to it, mainly because you're going to be the one that's trying to host the show and organise people coming in to the live stream to make their picks. So, I'm just going to sit back and laugh at you because I think it's going to be absolute chaos, but it should be fantastic to hopefully listen to, and hopefully it's all a bit of fun because they're a great bunch of guys. Obviously, we've got writing for us at the moment, producing some absolutely fantastic content. It'll be good to get them all on the pod in one go and have some fun whilst trying to do a live draft.
You better help me, Rich, because I've got to organise 10 people, including myself, and a draft that's not going to end well. And of course, Jord from the 5-yard Devi side is also helping us out because we needed a 10th man there. So thanks to everyone that is involved in that. And Rich, until next week, mate, I'll see you then.
Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.